Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Biden still goes around saying that inflation was 9% when he took office. Ridiculous, it was 1.9%. by any standard that the government uses. But this will be touted. I'm not sure how the markets are reacting today. I didn't see anything noteworthy, but this is propelled by the open border issue. So these are not necessarily American citizens. And I don't think, you know, if they continue to pursue this and say, what more do you need? Look at the stock market. Look at the joblessness numbers. Why are you people complaining about the economy? And we come back, we tell them the same thing again and again and again, which is your buying power, the power that you have. It's not that your wages have increased enough to cover Biden inflation. It's not any of that. How many times do we have to say it? How many different angles of attack are they taking? Well, what else can they do? They don't want to admit it, and they want to continue it. All right, so we got that going on. But here's Peter Ducey talking, I guess, on Fox and Friends this morning about what I told you. President Biden with Zelensky publicly apologizes for delaying. This is over in Europe. This is over in France. Delaying getting enough money to Zelensky. Again, the battle over that. And saying the Republicans are the ones that are delaying this. I'm sorry. Meaning, if Trump is in there, that's not going to be good. Here's what Peter Ducey said about it.
The weapons don't seem to be getting to Ukraine quick enough. They got the $65 billion over a month ago. Is there a sense that there's a problem delivering?
There is a sense, and I'm looking down. I'm just going to read you. President Biden apologized for the delay in funding. He said, you haven't bowed down. You haven't yielded at all. I apologize for the first weeks of not knowing what's going on in terms of funding because we had trouble getting the bill that had to pass. And he actually said because of some conservative members who are holding it up. So typically, politics stops at the water's edge, not in this case, as President Biden is calling out House Republicans for slowing down the Ukraine aid that is ready to go. And that is what they are now talking about behind closed doors before the president comes here.
All right, there we go again. Ducey being criticized. Oh, defending the Republicans. What is not true about that? And on it goes. And yesterday, President Biden, speaking on the 80th anniversary, rather than specifically centering on the dwindling number of people that actually achieved that 80 years ago, he goes after Trump. He goes after so-called isolationism. He tells us exclusively about Ukraine, which is not the same thing, of course, as what we did on D-Day. All right, so 855-839-CHOP. You have President Biden saying that yesterday, Dan?
Yeah,
here we go.
Because if we do, Ukraine will be subjugated and will not end there. Ukraine's neighbors will be threatened. All of Europe will be threatened. And make no mistake, the autocrats of the world are watching closely to see what happens in Ukraine. to see if we let this illegal aggression go unchecked. We cannot let that happen. To surrender to bullies, to bow down to dictators, is simply unthinkable.
All right, so we're going to continue to hear this no matter what, politicizing that in a way that was shameful. To make his point, you're an isolationist if you don't want to go gaga over Ukraine. That's where we're going. That's where the battle is in this country. Well, bring it on. Because I happen to think there are many more Americans, if you want to call it isolationist, it's more America first, that have been tired of this for quite a while. Tired of it with the Cheneys, tired of it with the Bushes, Obama, any number of people on both sides, the Uniparty. And Trump was the factor that came along and broke that up. All right, one other thing before I take some calls. As predicted, Janice Armstrong, and I know Janice, you know, decently, and very nice person, but of course she was going to get a column out of this. And you know where the column was going to go. Janice Armstrong is African-American columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Headline, this Trump VP candidate came to Philadelphia and said black families were stronger during the Jim Crow era. Now Representative Byron Donalds is in trouble in D.C. Here's what to know about a moment in politics that began in a Philly cigar bar, made it to the floor of Congress, and could reshape Trump's run for the White House. I don't know how that last part is there, how that would play out. But again, how many times did Byron Donalds have to repeat exactly what he said and what his intentionality was? So he was on with
yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Hakeem. He was on with Joy Reid now. First it was with Abby Phillip, and I didn't think that was a bad interview. I think that was fine. Here's what Joy Reid, Dan, 6B. Here are the comments as played by Joy Reid.
So Dan, 6B is the comments from the Cigars Cognac event?
Yes, right.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, so you want that first for context?
Yeah, so the context of this, even though it's not really putting it enough in context, here's what she played.
During Jim Crow, the black family was together.
That's right.
During Jim Crow, more black people were not just conservative, because black people always have been conservative-minded, but more black people voted conservatively. And then H.E.W., Lyndon Johnson, and then you go down that road, and now we are where we are.
All right. Now, the other development is in the Janice Armstrong column, she quotes Wesley Hunt, the congressman, rising star, that we really liked when we had him on this week. And she says that Hunt said the reason why you've seen black voters year after year after year vote for Democrats and or progressives is they're being told to vote, in so many words, or argued with by their parents or even grandparents. Is that an outrageous comment? You know, and Hunt the other night asked, why? Why continue to do this? Why do you have to continue to vote for Democrats? And the theory is pretty obvious to me. Trump is a different form of Republican nominee, to put it mildly. He's broken through to get a hearing on these things in a way that Mitt Romney never could. And what's the result? People are paying attention to it. They're going, yeah, that makes sense to me. Why would I continue to go what's going on for the last 50 or 60 years? Where did that get me? So here's a little bit sensing this problem. Here is the argument, and I have an even better one coming up here with Chelsea Handler and 50 Cent. What she's offering him, boy, Dan, I have to think, is that a good enough offer for him to shut up?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Byron Donalds and Joy Reid. Here's how it sounded.
Okay, let's talk about that. Jim Crow lasted roughly from 1867 after the Civil War to 1968. Is there a specific period between 1867 and 1968 that you thought was this golden era for black families or a time that was good for black families?
Joy, I never said that. And see, this is where the gaslighting comes in.
No, I'm going to read
in.
What you said.
All
no,
I was
no, no.
talking
Hold
about
on.
Was the marriage
Stop.
Rates.
Stop. No,
Joy,
that's not what you said. Let's play what you said.
Marriage rates
play what he said. Play what he said.
Families. You're
play
saying
what he
I said it was the golden era.
I'm
going to
play
that.
I'm going to play what you said.
I said that it was better
I'm going to play what
families.
You said.
I never said that. I
play
said
what he said.
Play what I said.
Play what he said. Okay, so now I'm going to go back. You said during Jim Crow, the black family was together. What was the authority of the black father in the black family during Jim Crow?
Well, listen, under Jim Crow, obviously, black people were under great persecution, unfortunately, by Southern Democrats and the Democrat Party overall in the history of our country. That's the fact. And so, well, let me finish now, Joy. And so having the black man in the home was about first protecting the mom and protecting the kids. Incredibly important. It was the leadership in the home, which is incredibly valuable. And I think what we're witnessing, obviously, the last 30 years, definitely through my generation, is black fathers being at home is incredibly important for the success of black children going forward. And it's not just a black thing. That's everybody. Fathers in home help to breed success for kids moving forward. That is a great thing for our country. That's something that has been proven throughout time. So what I'm talking about is not the golden era of Jim Crow. That's ridiculous. I would never say that. And that is the gaslighting that I'm standing up to, because that's what Hakeem Jeffries, the Biden campaign, Jamie Harrison and the like are trying to bring up. And unfortunately, the media has followed suit with misleading headlines. And that's wrong.
All right, we'll get more on this, but we have the Hound, Bob Kelly, in the On Deck Circle. Big event. 50 years of the Flyers coming to Avalon on the 15th, on June 15th. We'll get all the details and talk about this and why that team really connected with the community second to none. Bob the Hound Kelly, you hadn't played with the Flyers for X number of years. I don't think you could buy a drink in this town. No one would let you.
Well, you know what? The people, the fans, I mean, they're what made the team. Mr. Snyder made the team, and the people he surrounded himself with were all great people. And you know what? We do a lot of things as the Philadelphia Flyers, the business-wise and everything. We do a lot of stuff. We're in the community all the time, giving back. We're out there with the people. You know, a fun side note there, I remember being with Clarkey and Billy Barber, and we'd load up the truck with from the Spectrum there. We'd load them up with hockey sticks that might have little cracks in them or something, still playable. And then we'd drive through South Philly and we'd see kids out there playing hockey, and we'd stop and give them some new sticks and change them up a little bit and give them some stuff. So, I mean, it's just been a great situation for all of us who had an opportunity to play here during that length of time.
But Bob, no athletes do that today. Do you think it was the money? Was it Rexy's as a watering hole? Hockey was new, street hockey in South Philly. I'm looking at a picture of you guys. Well, this is a picture of Clark and Don Selesky, Big Bird, playing in the infield at 10th Street in Avalon in 1974. You had a softball team, right?
Yeah, we did. We traveled around a little bit and played there. We played in the Vet Stadium, which was really, really cool. We played there. We played up in the Northeast. I mean, we kind of played anywhere that we'd have an opportunity to play with some stuff. And it was well organized. Usually the firemen or the policemen we'd play against. So, we put on a good lineup out there, and everybody showed up to play. New sport, let's play.
Well, we got this big event coming up, Avalon Free Library, June 15th. Will hold the 50th anniversary celebration of the first cup. Five players are expected to attend. It's at Surfside Park in Avalon. Selesky, Big Bird, Bob Kelly, Dave Schultz, and you have both the Watson brothers.
Well, you'll hear Joe coming before you see him, that's for sure. But and brother Jimmy there, he's about 100 miles an hour, but it's good. I mean, a lot of us have, not so much me, because I'm from Canada, so I'm into the lakes, not really into the oceans. But, I did have my boat down there in Seattle City, and that's where Al Gentless's head marina right there, as you went over the big bridge. And, Clarkey was down there, had a place down there. There's a lot of guys, Jimmy Kerr ended up down there. We just have a lot of guys who, they got roots up and down the shore there from Wildwood all the way up. And, it's a great place to vacation. I did spend 4 days during the Christmas holidays down there. And, I enjoy that, but it was less traffic and no congestion. It was nice.
Well, Bob, the thing I like about you, I'm not a fan. My producer, Dan, I think might be on the other side, more fighting and hockey.
Yep.
I like the aggression, though. When you came on the ice, just the all-out whirlwind, You know, I didn't see you as going after other players. You were just following the puck. If you ran over your own guys or somebody else, you were going to get the puck, and that was it. I don't know if anybody that was more representative of that style of play in the last 50 years. It's you without being somebody that was, you know, out there main. I know everybody has a role, like Schultz and others. Talk about that, the difference. I don't remember you being in that many fights, but there were a lot of collisions.
Well, the incoming players that came, St. Louis Blues used to kick the crap out of the Flyers. And especially around the playoff times, they would go after some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The small guys, they had the Plager brothers, they had Picard, they had a whole bunch of big heavies in there. So we're put together and built to go after and anybody goes after our guys, and kind of got a little backbone in there. And you know, Keith Allen and Mr. Steinlatt, they put together a really good group to go help each other. They brought Moose DuPont in, who was my old nemesis growing up through junior hockey. So we really had a good group, but you know what? win or lose, we're banded together. And, you know, okay, 20 guys are going on the ice, 20 guys are coming off the ice together. It's just kind of the way we played. And, you know, like, there's a lot of tough guys in the NHL back in those days. And, you know, we certainly relish a good fight every now and then. And sometimes we took a little bit too far. A few guys have been arrested. We had nice trips to Vancouver in the off season, so we could go in there and visit with the judge. And, you know, it's a little situation like that.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. And Fred Shiro, what a character. I don't remember a coach quite like him. Putting on the blackboard, win today and we'll walk together forever. And I only met Ed Snyder a couple of times. You call him Mr. Snyder, I understand. He was backing a movie that we were interested in, and just what an owner that would do anything for the Flyers to win. Maybe Bob, people thought too much, you know. He wasn't going to have a down year. Whatever it took, he was going to do it. You don't find too many owners like that.
The game of hockey is about win or lose, and we certainly got tired of being losers back in the earlier days, and sometimes we would get pushed and punished a little bit there, so You know, we're all about winning, whatever it takes to win. And if you got to go club somebody, you go club them. If you, somebody takes a cheap shot at your guys, you got to go and stand up for them. I mean, they're there to be talented. We're there to make sure that, you know, it stays that way. You get to use your talent. But you know what? Freddie was really funny. I'll tell you a couple quick locker room stories. So Freddie Shearer walked in one day. He played, Rick McLeish played with Dornhofer and Lonsberry. So he walks in one day, Freddie with a pail of water, puts it in the middle of the floor. He says, "McLeish, get over here." We're all wondering, what's Freddie doing now? So anyway, Ricky walks over. He says, "Fred, put your hand in the water." So Ricky puts his hand in the water. "Pull your hand out of the water." Ricky pulls his hand out of the water, and he goes, "That's how long it's going to take to replace you if you don't get your ass going." So,
and this is one of the all-time, you know, I don't know hockey as well as I know basketball, but I know McLeish is one of the all-time shot makers. I mean, in that era, he's got to be in the top two or three guys.
Oh, without question. Ricky, I played against Ricky. We played for the Peterborough Peace when I was with Oshawa. And, you know, we used to have some run-ins, a couple little battles here and there. But you had to have respect for his ability to play. So, obviously, if a guy's got a lot of talent, you want to try and neutralize him.
Yeah, well, exactly. Dan, my producer, I'll let him ask some of the Russians questions. I have one at the end. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, so going back about 48 years now, a lot in the hockey community, conversation about that game against the Red Army and them walking, storming off the ice. And they always say, oh, it only took four hits from the bullies to, you know, make the Russians want to leave. I got to ask, going into that game, did you have that mindset of aggression that because of the political climate, you wanted to give it to the Russians? And did they leave because of the on ice, or was there behind the scenes politicking that made them leave the ice there?
You know, a little bit of everything. It all started the day before we played them, when we had a dinner in the old Blue Line Club down there. And one by one, they introduced us. And then when Eddie Van Imp, he plays the game a different way. He's a little, you know, stocky side, but, you know, he'll spear you. He'll clear the net. He'll take care of things that have to be done in there. And when Eddie stood up there, we call him the Muscovites, he all started pointing and giggling and stuff like that. And Eddie, you could just see the blood coming out of Eddie's face. And, like, there was absolutely, and there still is, hate for the Russians, without question. And, you know, we just put together something that was in there, but nothing was staged in there. I mean, Freddie studied Russian hockey over there, and then he introduced different things to us. But the thing about the way we played the game, he says, here's how we're going to beat the Russians. We'll give them the puck. And I said, why would we want to do that? And he said, well, here's how I want you to play. And, you know, you got to be in their face, in the grill. He wanted us to run our lanes. Don't crisscross. Don't do goofy stuff and everything. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, you'll get your opportunities. You'll get your chances in there. And you know, it worked out. And back to that comment about where it was, is like, When Freddie, you know, we had faith in him because we beat the Russians with his plan, his go-ahead and everything like that. So then we get ready to play the Boston Bruins for the Stanley Cup. And Freddie calls a meeting in the locker room and he goes, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give the puck to Bobby Orr. And we're going, like,
wow.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
That's the last guy we want to give the puck to. And he said, I'm telling you, he said, what I want you to do is dump the puck in Orr's corner. I want you chasing him in. I want you hitting him. I don't want you, you know, elbowing, butt-ending, slashing, spearing. I don't want you chopping his ankles. I don't want none of that going on there. I just want you to keep putting the puck in his corner, make him go back and get it. And he said, by the third game, you're going to see some differences out there depending how long the series goes. And he said, you know, Orr's just tired. He's just flat out of gas. And Orr even said that. And he's one of Joe Watts' closest friends. So,
yeah, I hear you. Is he the best hockey player you ever played against, Bobby Orr?
Depends how you look at that. It depends. I usually didn't get on the ice that much, so I didn't have to worry. he was right up there, but, like, there's been so many great stars have come through and played in the National Hockey League, and we're fortunate to play. I mean, I love playing against the original six, You got goaltenders, Johnny Bauer, Bobby Orr, you got Carl Brewer, you can go all down the list of all the guys that are in there and then go across all that was in there. So the expansion was really, really good, and we were able to come out of it on top. And, you know, like I said, we snagged two cups and we almost had a third one.
Absolutely. Well, people in Avalon in for a real treat. 3 p.m., well, 2 p.m. it opens, 3 p.m. Five of you will be over there at the Avalon Free Public Library on June 15th. thank you. And again, I enjoyed so much that first time I met you at the carnival. And people, wherever you go, you're a great ambassador for the Flyers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I enjoy doing what I'm doing. And go back to Mr. Snyder's. Hang on one second. I get a little delivery coming here. sorry about that. Timing is everything. But you know, when Freddie and Mr. and Keith and them, they put the team together, they really put a lot of thought and heart into it. And Mr. Snyder would do anything for you. I sat beside Clarkie and drove him nuts for 10 years in there, and I'm sitting on the bench, you know, in the locker room there, and Ed Snyder comes in and he goes, I need to talk to you. So what? He says, so what do we need to do to win? I'm going like, why are you asking me? I play two shifts a game sometimes, maybe three if it's a good day. And so I asked Clarkie. He's got all the answers. I don't have the answers. So you got a lot. Mr. Snyder rolls things. He's the first one I met when I broke training camp in Hershey. He's the first one I came into because I wanted to see the spectrum that everybody talked about. And talked about the road systems that weren't even in place back when we were playing. So it's just been a great ride. I bought one of his showcase stores there. I've been in the SLM Mall. I've been in construction, did different things. And every time I turn around, and then in 2003, I get a call from Mr. Snyder. I want to see you on the basketball floor court. They go, okay, sounds good. And so gotcha. Meet him there at a certain time. I walk in, and there's I'm going to forget his name. It'll come back to me in brain freeze. It'll come back to me.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, no, I'm just saying, so anyways, he came down there, and so Dave Kosky was standing there, too, and it was Dave that put out the initial word for me to come to, so I owe Dave a lot of good things. A World Be Free, it was on the floor waiting for me, too, so those are the guys I was waiting for, but I couldn't believe it, and it just goes to show you, like, we've been there, and we appreciate what the Flyers have done for us, and what everybody's done for us, and we're just happy to be a part of it, and, you know, here's Brad Marsh comes back, and he's the president of the Flyers alumni, and responsible for a lot of the things that we do in the neighborhood.
There's nothing like it, Bob. Enjoy it in Avalon, and thank you. Thanks for all you give to the community.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing everybody down there.
Bob the Hound Kelly. All right, the event will be held at Surfside Park, right there in Avalon, 29th Street and the beach. Brought to you by the Avalon Free Public Library. And, of course, it's free, the 50th anniversary. What a character. And in person, it's even more so. Okay, coming up, we'll take some of your calls. We haven't gotten too many in yet on the side question today, which is something in honor of Tom Jones, in honor of the Phillies over across the pond, significant about the UK. And if you didn't know it, by the way, Ed Snyder, we're talking about with Bob Kelly, the Ayn Rand film is where I met him once, maybe twice. And he was, ferocious about trying to turn people out. Why are those seats not filled? It was a theater like in Jenkintown or whatever. And I said, wait a minute. I know he's one of the producers of this. Is that Ed Snyder over there? Yes. All right, let me get my trusty mic out. And what an entrepreneur.
Did you corner Snyder? You got an interview?
Oh, yeah. No, he was more than willing to talk when I identified in the whole thing. Yeah. I remember he had a yellow jacket on. Like, not real yellow.
You know, one thing I learned this week, because I was talking to, Bob mentioned Dave Kosky, who was like Snyder's right-hand man in the communications department, and I was talking to him, and I didn't realize that Snyder was largely the innovator of WIP and 24-hour radio, sports radio, and now nationwide, local markets everywhere, and just such an innovator, that guy. There's so many different things.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, And he sometimes would joust with them after that, you know. So, coming up, we hope to talk with the Republican leader in Harrisburg. I told you the story today. It's making a lot of news. Democrats bring in these two Capitol Hill cops from January 6th. They do a political rally with them. Then they bring them in on the floor. They're taking a picture with all the Democrats and these two guys. And then they start lecturing about how the Republican Party has just lost its way. It's a cult, January 6th, the whole thing. Well, of course, Republicans react to that. And now they're being told they're not pro-cop. Is this all Democrats have? My answer is yes, of course. trying to say they're not pro-military because we don't want all this intervention in Ukraine, the money spent and everything else. They're not pro-cop because, well, if you're pro-cop, you have to support everything the FBI does or everything some of these Capitol Police say. Some of these Capitol Police, we get what they went through, but they have become politicized in this. And some of the sentencing around January 6th is ridiculous. But these two things are going to play out, and they're going to be put under the headline of Trump is going to take away democracy. So yesterday, Joy Behar and Hillary Clinton also were involved. No, I want to move to some. Here's Joy Behar talking about D-Day on D-Day and Trump, and Hillary Clinton talking about Hitler and Trump on D-Day and how they're very similar. And if we don't stop them, we're going to need another D-Day. First, here's Joy Behar.
When I was there, I had a guide who was French. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, "We saved France." And he said, "You saved the world."
The world.
Yes. Wow. You saved the world.
That's that's what America used to do.
And that is the most touching thing anybody has ever said to me about this country. Mm. And for us to be throwing it down the toilet to a convicted felon, to somebody who was liable for rape, who lies and cheats, who calls...
Liable for sexual abuse.
Sexual harassment, yeah. Whatever
sexual.
It is.
Sis.
Abuse. John Kelly, his former chief of staff, said, Trump said U.S. service members were suckers and losers for risking their lives. There's nothing in it for them. He refused to visit the graves in France. He didn't want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because, quote, it doesn't look good for me. He criticized Gold Star families. He went against John McCain, who was a hero. And this guy is neck and neck with Biden. Today is the day to reflect on what we have in this country and what we could lose very easily if we don't watch it.
And if I could just
end
add
the speech. And by the way, if you want to learn about this and you don't feel like reading about it, watch Saving Private Ryan and The Longest Day, two movies about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
About what? What the heck are they talking about there at the end? Okay. Yeah, well, watch Saving Private Ryan. You'll learn how we have to stop Trump.
Remember
okay.
That extra scene when they travel to New York and run into him in Trump Tower?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yes. Hitler sent him a communique. So two things are going to go with, as predicted, to come back to. These things all wrap underneath democracy. Trump's going to take away democracy. The other thing is abortion. It's still out there, and it's going to come back. Which brings me to Chelsea Handler, though. The thing that they resent the most is the fact that you see any number of African-American voters, politicians, celebrities like 50 Cent that are coming on board here. And this is from 2020, Dan?
Yeah, this is so it's just resurfacing now because of all this stuff coming out about race and the reframing of the Biden campaign. But this is actually a 2020 interview with Jimmy Fallon.
All right. And here's what Handler said about 50 Cent getting out of line and maybe not voting for Democrats.
You heard about my ex-boyfriend, right? 50 Cent and his support of Donald Trump.
Yeah, what's going on between you? I saw your tweets and I go, wait, what's happening? Because you said he was your favorite ex-boyfriend and then what does he do? He's supporting Trump?
He says he doesn't want to pay 62% in taxes, which, by the way, isn't a plan of Joe Biden's. That's a lie. So he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes because he doesn't want to go from being 50 cents to 20 cents. And I had to remind him that he was a black person, so he can't vote for Donald Trump, and that he shouldn't be influencing an entire swath of people who may listen to him because he's worried about his own personal pocketbook. So I haven't heard back from him yet, but I am willing to, you know, seal the deal in more ways than one if he changes his mind and publicly denounces Donald Trump. I might be willing to go for another spin, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Jimmy, yuck it up there. There we go. This is what we're reduced to. And that's from 2020. I think 50 Cent was with Bobart the other day. Oh, my God. And you're going to see more and more of this. And this is the thing they see that. Not just because of the effectiveness of it, but because, as she said there, you're not allowed to do this. It was meant to be funny, but maybe not that funny. That's exactly where we are in America. All right, coming up. Neil Zorin here, D-Day, of course, Saving Private Ryan, films of that, like that. Yes,
before you go to break, I just wanted to say that there was a TMC yesterday did ask 50 Cent whether or not he was dating Lauren Boebert. I don't know if you want that response.
Oh, yeah, let's hear this.
Hey, 50, would you date Lauren Boebert? Is that someone that you could see yourself dating? Would you date Lauren Boebert? Can you see yourself dating?
I'm not even dating my
Is Diddy going to go to jail? What do you think?
I think he's in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan, hasn't he been shot at? So there's that with Boebert, right? Given her provide some protection. Good side question, unusual couples. Yeah, they were pictured together, though, at some place, I think, in Washington. No, they resent this idea that Trump is unique and he's the one that's able to break through and have people then look at the Republican Party a bit more. All right, our TV guy, Neil Zorin, here, Saving Private Ryan, The Longest Day, any number of films like that. But summertime, what are some things we have coming up? We'll get that from Neil. Don't forget Miranda Devine today at 2:30, exhaustively covering the Hunter Biden trial. Does she think he ought to go to jail if convicted? I don't know why it's even a question in this. And how did she feel since she wrote the book about the laptop, when everybody said, oh, yeah, it's real, here it is. All that up until 3 on Talk Radio 1210. Your thoughts on these D-Day films are two prominent ones, but I guess any number of others always try to show that if it's about World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first of all, I think there's a wonderful television piece. The second part is, but it's not as wonderful, and that's the Band of Brothers. So that's always good to go and watch on around D-Day. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Masters of the Air was this year. I was more happy with Band of Brothers. But I still remember going to The Longest Day with my grandparents and brother. And when we left the theater, after seeing The Longest Day, which was 4 hours, my grandmother turned to my grandfather and said, The Longest Day, boy, was it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a reaction, but it was a great movie. And I remember my takeaway at age, and I saw it new in the movies, but I was only 12 years old. And my takeaway was how both the American officers and soldiers and the German officers and soldiers both said, yes, but we're bound to win. God's on our side. I didn't believe that Nazis believed in God, but there you go. And so of course, I already knew who won. But the great thing about those movies, Saving Private Ryan, because it's a great adventure, but The Longest Day is because even though you know the ending, you're still biting your nails watching the movie.
There are different interpretations of this. And Neil, a lot of the story, too, that Longest Day and a couple of these others have gotten into is not the frontal assault. It's these people parachuting in, which is remarkable, all the defenses the Germans had up and how effective they were to influence the outcome.
And my father was one of them. He was a paratrooper. And amazing. And that is why when somebody from the Philadelphia school district in charge of that wonderful topic, DEI, says the American flag may be a symbol for hate, or anybody denigrates Dwight Eisenhower because he allowed under God into the Constitution, into the Pledge of Allegiance, I want to say you're missing probably one of the greatest Americans who ever lived. It wasn't Dwight Eisenhower and Winston Churchill, we wouldn't be here today.
Without a doubt.
And I don't want to hear anything about the American flag. You know, a lot of people have lost their lives, and a lot of people have injuries, and a lot of people have just faced bullets flying all around them to save you. So leave them alone. So D-Day is one of the great events. I think we should do more about an 80th anniversary than any anniversary that has been done.
But without a doubt. Now, Dan tells me several revivals are on the scene this summer.
Oh, it's all revivals on television and in movies. I mean, television, just in the weeks you have, the coming week you have Criminal Minds, The Boys, Sweet Tooth, Bridgerton, Grantchester, The House of the Dragon, and, of course, later on in the month of The Bear. And that's all just coming in this month. I mean, it outshines anything new, which the best of which I think is the one I'm looking for is David Kelly's Presumed Innocent with Jake Gyllenhaal. And the movies are the same thing. You have some new movies coming out, like Kinds of Kindness, which is with Emma Stone and by the same director as Poor Things, Yorgos, if I can pronounce his name, Eurythmus. But and Kevin Costner coming in at the first new picture he's directed in years, good or bad, who knows? Called Horizon. But mainly, you have all these revivals, Twisters. The Despicable Me, The Incredibles, A Quiet Place, Inside Out, whether, you know, there's a new one called Bike Riders, but you have, that might be interesting, but you have The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Eddie Murphy, again, in a playing Axel F. in a version of Beverly Hills Cop. Everything is a revival or based on or the other things are based on comic books or video games. I mean, the video game ones, the one I'm looking forward to is Borderlands, even though it stars the horrible Philadelphian actor Kevin Hart, it does also have Kate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Jack Black. Yeah, I avoid Kevin Hart, although when you were talking before, I've interviewed Jamie Kennedy because he's from Delaware County 376 times, but one time we were talking, he said, I have to get you to me. He said, I have to get you to a party with 50 Cent. I said, well, that's
Well, Chelsea Handler, there you go, Neil. I mean, No, Bobart and 50 Cent. That way he'll be protected, yeah.
There you go. Listen, they can run for president together one Sunday. Can't be worse than the three we have now. I can't wait to see Trump's running mate because at least we might have a decent person among the four.
All right, Neil. Well, we'll see about that.
Donald. I'm not knocking Donald. I'm just saying.
All right, Neil.
I'm waiting for somebody.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you. You see all the revivals anyway.
The revivals I got.
To.
All right, Neil. Where do we find you?
You'll find me in the Delaware County Daily Times and related newspapers. There's seven of them, all dailies. And you'll find me at neilspaper.com, which I'm actually about to refurbish today.
Well, certainly do that. Thank you, Neil. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, coming up, we are loaded this 2 o'clock hour. Dom's Money Melody for a great prize. We'll decide the winner of the week on the side question. House Speaker Brian Cutler. Well, he sees the leadership. He's the minority leader in the House, will join us. His reaction to the story that's out there all over the place, Democrats saying, hey, Republicans really don't like cops. I've been talking about it all afternoon. And Miranda Devine at 2:30, all that is straight ahead.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He was more than willing to talk when I identified and the whole thing. Yeah. I remember he had a yellow jacket on. Like, not real yellow.
You know, one thing I learned this week, because I was talking to, Bob mentioned Dave Kosky, who was like Snyder's right-hand man in the communications department, and I was talking to him, and I didn't realize that Snyder was largely the innovator of WIP and 24-hour radio, sports radio, and now nationwide, local markets everywhere, and just such an innovator, that guy. There's so many different things.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, And he sometimes would joust with them after that, you know. So coming up, we hope to talk with the Republican leader in Harrisburg. I told you the story today. It's making a lot of news. Democrats bring in these two Capitol Hill cops from January 6th. They do a political rally with them. Then they bring them in on the floor. They're taking a picture with all the Democrats and these two guys. And then they start lecturing about how the Republican Party has just lost its way. It's a cult. January 6th, the whole thing. Well, of course, Republicans react to that. And now they're being told they're not pro-cop. Is this all Democrats have? My answer is yes, of course. Trying to say they're not pro-military because we don't want all this intervention in Ukraine, the money spent and everything else. They're not pro-cop because, well, if you're pro-cop, you have to support everything the FBI does or everything some of these Capitol Police say. Some of these Capitol Police, we get what they went through, but they have become politicized in this. And some of the sentencing around January 6th is ridiculous. But these two things are going to play out, and they're going to be put under the headline of Trump is going to take away democracy. So yesterday, Joy Behar and Hillary Clinton also were involved. Here's Joy Behar talking about D-Day on D-Day and Trump, and Hillary Clinton talking about Hitler and Trump on D-Day and how they're very similar. And if we don't stop them, we're going to need another D-Day. First, here's Joy Behar.
When I was there, I had a guide who was French. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, "We saved France." And he said, "You saved the world."
The world.
Yes. Wow. We saved the world.
That's what America used to do.
And that is the most touching thing anybody has ever said to me about this country. Mm. And for us to be throwing it down the toilet to a convicted felon, to somebody who was liable for rape, who lies and cheats, who calls...
Sexual abuse.
John Kelly, his former chief of staff, said, Trump said U.S. service members were suckers and losers for risking their lives. There's nothing in it for them. He refused to visit the graves in France. He didn't want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because, quote, it doesn't look good for me. He criticized Gold Star families. He went against John McCain, who was a hero. And this guy is neck and neck with Biden. Today is a day to reflect on what we have in this country and what we could lose very easily if we don't watch it.
And if I could just
end
add...
the speech. And by the way, if you want to learn about this and you don't feel like reading about it, watch Saving Private Ryan and The Longest Day. Two movies about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
About what? What the heck are they talking about there at the end? Okay. Yeah, well, watch Saving Private Ryan. You'll learn how we have to stop Trump.
Remember
okay.
That extra scene when they travel to New York and run into him in Trump Tower?
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yes.
Alone.
Hitler sent him a communique. So two things they're going to go with, as predicted, to come back to. These things all wrap underneath democracy. Trump's going to take away democracy. The other thing is abortion. It's still out there, and it's going to come back. Which brings me to Chelsea Handler, though. The thing that they resent the most is the fact that you see any number of African-American voters, politicians, celebrities like 50 Cent that are coming on board here. And this is from 2020, Dan?
Yeah, this is so it's just resurfacing now because of all this stuff coming
right.
out about race and the reframing
okay.
of the Biden campaign. But this is actually a 2020 interview with Jimmy Fallon.
All right. And here's what Handler said about 50 Cent getting out of line and maybe not voting for Democrats.
You heard about my ex-boyfriend, right? 50 Cent and his support of Donald Trump.
Yeah, what's going on between you? I saw your tweets and I go, wait, what's happening? Because you said he was your favorite ex-boyfriend and then what does he do? He's supporting Trump?
He says he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes, which, by the way, isn't a plan of Joe Biden's. That's a lie. So he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes because he doesn't want to go from being 50 Cent to 20 Cent. And I had to remind him that he was a black person, so he can't vote for Donald Trump, and that he shouldn't be influencing an entire swath of people who may listen to him because he's worried about his own personal pocketbook. So I haven't heard back from him yet, but I am willing to you know, seal the deal in more ways than one if he changes his mind and publicly denounces Donald Trump, I might be willing to go for another spin, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Jimmy, yuck it up there. There we go. This is what we're reduced to. And that's from 2020. I think 50 Cent was with Bobart the other day. Oh, my God. And you're going to see more and more of this. And this is the thing, they see that. Not just because of the effectiveness of it, but because, as she said there, you're not allowed to do this. It was meant to be funny, but maybe not that funny. That's exactly where we are in America. All right, coming up. Neil Zorin here, D-Day, of course, Saving Private Ryan, films of that, like that. Yes.
Before you go to break, I just wanted to say that there was a TMC yesterday did ask 50 Cent whether or not he was dating Lauren Boebert. I don't know if you want that response.
Oh, yeah, let's hear this.
Hey, 50, would you date Lauren Boebert? Is that someone that you could see yourself dating? Would you date Lauren Boebert? Can you see yourself dating?
I'm not even dating right now. I don't know if it's optional to date her. I didn't talk to her.
Is Diddy going to go to jail? What do you think?
I think he's in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan, hasn't he been shot at? So there's that with Boebert, right? Given her, there, she might provide some protection. Good side question, unusual couples. Yeah, they were pictured together, though, at some place, I think, in Washington. No, they resent this idea that Trump is unique and he's the one that's able to break through and have people then look at the Republican Party a bit more. All right, our TV guy, Neil Zorin, here, Saving Private Ryan, The Longest Day, any number of films like that. But summertime, what are some things we have coming up? We'll get that from Neil. Don't forget Miranda Devine today at 2:30, exhaustively covering the Hunter Biden trial. Does she think he ought to go to jail if convicted? I don't know why it's even a question in this. And how did she feel since she wrote the book about the laptop, when everybody said, oh, yeah, it's real, here it is? All that up until 3 on Talk Radio 1210. Your thoughts on these D-Day films are two prominent ones, but I guess any number of others always try to show that if it's about World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first of all, I think there's a wonderful television piece, and I actually made, the second part is, but it's not as wonderful, and that's Band of Brothers. So that's always good to go and watch on around D-Day. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Masters of the Air was this year. I was more happy with Band of Brothers. But I still remember going to The Longest Day with my grandparents and brother. And when we left the theater, after seeing The Longest Day, which was 4 hours, my grandmother turned to my grandfather and said, "The Longest Day, boy, was it."
Yeah, exactly.
That was a reaction, but it was a great movie. And I remember my takeaway at age, and I saw it new in the movies, but I was only 12 years old. And my takeaway was how both the American officers and soldiers and the German officers and soldiers both said, yes, but we're bound to win. God's on our side. I didn't believe that Nazis believed in God, but there you go. And so of course, I already knew who won. But the great thing about those movies, Saving Private Ryan, because it's a great adventure, but The Longest Day is because even though you know the ending, you're still biting your nails watching the movie.
Yeah, and there are different interpretations of this. And Neil, a lot of the story, too, that Longest Day and a couple of these others have gotten into is not the frontal assault. It's these people parachuting in, which is remarkable, all the defenses the Germans had up and how effective they were to influence the outcome.
My father was one of them. He was a paratrooper. And amazing. And that is why when somebody from the Philadelphia School District in charge of that wonderful topic, DEI, says the American flag may be a symbol for hate, or anybody denigrates Dwight Eisenhower because he allowed under God into the Constitution, into the Pledge of Allegiance, I want to say you're missing probably one of the greatest Americans who ever lived. It wasn't Dwight Eisenhower and Winston Churchill, we wouldn't be here today.
And without a doubt.
And I don't want to hear anything about the American flag. You know, a lot of people have lost their lives, and a lot of people have injuries, and a lot of people have just faced bullets flying all around them to save you. So leave them alone. So D-Day is one of the great events. I think we should do more about an 80th anniversary than or ever any anniversary that has been done.
Yep, but without a doubt. Now, Dan tells me several revivals are on the scene this summer.
Oh, it's all revivals on television and in movies. I mean, television, just in the weeks you have, the coming week you have Criminal Minds, The Boys, Sweet Tooth, Bridgerton, Grantchester, The House of the Dragon, and, of course, later on in the month of The Bear. And that's all just coming in this month. I mean, it outshines anything new, which the best of which I think is the one I'm looking for is David Kelly's Presumed Innocent with Jake Gyllenhaal. And the movies are the same thing. You have some new movies coming out, like Kinds of Kindness, which is with Emma Stone and by the same director as Poor Things, Yorgos, if I can pronounce his name, Rippus. But and Kevin Costner coming in the first new picture he's directed in years, good or bad, who knows? Called Horizon. But mainly, you have all these revivals, Twisters. The Despicable Me, The Incredibles, A Quiet Place, Inside Out, whether, you know, there's a new one called Bike Riders, but you have that might be interesting. But you have The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Eddie Murphy, again, in playing Axel F. in a version of Beverly Hills Cop. Everything is a revival or based on a... or the other things are based on comic books or video games. I mean, the video game ones, the one I'm looking forward to is Borderlands, even though it stars the horrible Philadelphian actor Kevin Hart, it does also have Kate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis, and Jack Black. I avoid Kevin Hart, although when you were talking before, I've interviewed Jamie Kennedy because he's from Delaware County 376 times, but one time we were talking, he said, I have to get you to me. He said, I have to get you to a party with 50 Cent. I said, why is that going to be cool?
Well, Chelsea Handler, there you go, Neil. I mean, Bobart and 50 Cent. That way he'll be protected, yeah.
There you go. Listen, they can run for president together one day. Can't be worse than the three we have now. I can't wait to see Trump's running mate because at least we might have a decent person among the four.
All right, Neil. Well, we'll see about
Donald.
That.
I'm not knocking Donald. I'm just saying.
All right, Neil.
Wait for somebody.
Yeah.
But anyway, you see all the revivals anyway.
The revivals I got.
To.
All right, Neil. Where do we find you?
You'll find me in the Delaware County Daily Times and related newspapers. There's seven of them, all dailies. And you'll find me at neilspaper.com, which I'm actually about to refurbish today.
Well, certainly do that. Thank you, Neil. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, coming up, we are loaded this 2 o'clock hour. Dom's Money Melody for a great prize. We'll decide the winner of the week on the side question. House Speaker Brian Cutler. Well, he sees the leadership. He's the minority leader in the House, will join us. His reaction to the story that's out there all over the place, Democrats saying, hey, Republicans really don't like cops. I've been talking about it all afternoon. And Miranda Devine at 2:30, all that is straight ahead.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.